would like to do the communion part of our service before Huggy Break, because an incident happened this week that I want to share before I read the communion scriptures. And it might very well be that there's been a point that you might have been in the same place in your life. A man I've known for more than 30 years called me towards the end of the week, and he said, "My life is falling apart and I don't know what to do." And he said, "My wife told me to come down to see you because you might be able to help." So we went downstairs and he just talked and talked and talked and talked, and he was entertaining the thought of using horse tranquilizer to kill himself that day. Because for nearly 30 years, and I'm just going to say it, where he fellowshipped, every week he was reminded that he was nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. And I spent a long time with him, teaching him about the new man in Christ, the new creation, and that the old sin nature died with Christ, it was crucified with Christ the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. And he said, "I just can't believe, after all these years, that Jesus would pay the price for my sins." He said, "Because I hear this every week, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, week after week, month after month, and year after year in the same church." My flesh wanted to say, "Why don't you burn it down and leave town?" But Rick said, "No, that's not a good thing." And I started sharing the word with him so he could see it in writing. But he didn't really snap out of that suicidal thought until I could stay there for another 4 hours and just keep feeding his spirit. But these words came to me, so contrary to where I was going with him. "What makes you so special that you need a new Jesus to forgive the uniqueness of your sins? There's only one." But he was in such a place that it was almost like the implication was he needs a different Jesus or a new Jesus, just special for him. And when I asked him that question, suddenly all those other scriptures that we had talked about became very clear. And the last one I shared with him, it's a portion of scripture, is the one that I'm going to share with you, because there might have been a time and a place in your life and your thoughts might have been going in the same place as his. I don't know, but I can tell you that the word for today for our communion service, it's a portion of scripture from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to read it to you without stopping. That's almost a joke, isn't it, huh? But I will endeavor to do my best, because I want you to hear the significance of what the writer is saying. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 8 through 17. And when it starts off above, when he said, the writer is making reference to some Old Testament scriptures that were given in the book of Psalms. And so the writer of Hebrews picks up above when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, and neither," well, this is kind of hard, "hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that may establish the second." He took away the first covenant to establish the second, or he took away the old in all of its religious traditions and practices of the slaughterhouse that the temple was so often, of lambs being killed. But that was given as a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. But then he said, by the which, and this is talking about God's will, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And this is where this gentleman really had a hard time, because every week he was reminded of his sins, but he was never reminded that Jesus offered himself as a sin offering one time for all sins forever. And so if you're thinking that it wasn't for you, let's read the rest of it, because you need to include the you in it if this is you thinking. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. See, that was the issue in the Old Covenant. No matter how many goats you killed, no matter how many sheep you killed, no matter how many turtle doves you killed, no matter how many animals were killed in the bloodshed and put on the altar, not one of those sacrifices could remove the sins of the people. It just covered them over, but they were still there. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, or from that time, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereas, or whereof, the Holy Ghost was also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. These are wonderful promises. And when we have communion, I always like to bring scripture, because there's so much more to understand about what we're doing. But for those who really feel like I can't be forgiven of something, I explained to him about the mercy seat in heaven, and that the blood of Jesus is already there. The interesting thing was, the mercy seat in heaven was the pattern by which the tabernacle was made, with the veil and the holy place where the priest would go behind the veil and apply the blood after he applied it for himself first. It's a pattern to point us to the significance of Christ being our high priest, but also about the blood of Jesus and the power of it. It doesn't just cover the sins, because there's nothing to cover anymore. So you have to come to the communion table already knowing that what you're about to enter into has been a work that's already been done for over 2,000 years. And you can't change it, and you can't undo it. You can cause yourself in your thinking or your actions to reject, but you still can't undo the blood. You just carry the guilt and you carry the consciousness. This man couldn't get his mind off of all the things that he had done, because every week for all those years when he went to church, that's what he was told. That's why I hate that doctrine. It is a deadly pit of hell to keep telling people and throwing this in their faces. And it angers me that people I know are being lied to. They're never being told the truth. And there's another side to the blood of Jesus that is never told. And then you go back to church and get beat up every week. You need to leave that place if you're in one. You can come join us, but I'm not fishing. I'm just telling you for your own good. If you deny the word of God and all that it has to say, and then you're going to keep going back every week, you know, after a while, if you eat enough sewer, you begin to smell like the septic tank. I'll just put it right out there. Just like Peter said, if you keep going back to your sin, it's like a dog returning to its own vomit. This is serious stuff. And I know we have a lot of fun. And I like the joy and the fun of being saved. But when it comes to a man who came ready to kill himself, if it hadn't have been for his wife that day, he might not even be with us anymore. That's how serious this is. Doctrines that kill. So with great joy, we have a Savior that we celebrate every day. Our songs of praise, our songs of worship. And when we come to the communion table, just know and believe God for you. When the bread comes around, Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." He willingly gave his life in our place. He did that willingly to fulfill the will of his Father. And the blood he shed was the forgiveness of the sins you committed last Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and today, and Monday, and Tuesday, for all eternity. And that's what the Spirit wants us to grasp out of all of this, because it set that man free. I called him, and I talked with him yesterday, and I asked him, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm doing so much better. An hour and a half undid 30 years of that stuff that was in his head. That's all it took." And I said, "Because I'd like to follow up with you a little bit more. I have some more things to reinforce what we talked about yesterday." So he's very willing and very open to learn more. But he's, as long as he stays there, because of the traditions of family that's held in there, it's because of tradition, you see. He needs to have a hedge of protection round about him until he's strong enough in his faith to believe the word about what it says about him. So that he, if he continues to go there, that's not going to get through to him anymore and keep him in that awful place where he just wants to kill himself. Because now he sees the hope of life and coming out of that shell and beginning to enjoy his faith. And so each of you should enjoy your faith. We have a Savior, and we can go to God anytime and ask for forgiveness. There's nothing like basking and soaking in the goodness of the Lord, is there? Oh, don't know why we quit so soon. We're not carrying on. Sometimes I think songs like that are just a glimpse of the eternal glory that we're all, as believers, going to have the opportunity to participate in. What we can do here is just a snippet of the glory yet to be revealed to us. I intentionally had communion first as the opening this morning, because every Sunday it's always different. There is never two Sundays alike. The thing that's alike is that how the Spirit just consumes us and things just flow. So if you're sitting here today and next week you come back, it won't be the same as today. And today isn't like it was last week. But I will introduce you to the last scripture that I have brought pertaining to patience. I'm going to read it and let you go home and study it. And when we come back next week, we're going to talk about it more, but I want to, in that, I want you to be thinking about seed time and harvest. Because to the Christian, every word we speak, every deed we do, is we're sowing seed for a harvest. It's not always about salvations, but it's about victory. It's about overcoming defeat. It's about overcoming grief and sadness and heartbreak and broken hearts. seed faith and harvest, sowing a seed. And it has to do with the parable of the sower and the seed in three of the four Gospels. So, James chapter 5. Verses 7 and 8. And if it may sound like this is going to end abruptly, it's just that I'm going to read the scriptures so that you'll know a week ahead of time. And I always like it that so many of you write scriptures down as we talk about them, and you take them home, you look them up, look at some different translations. But listen to this, what James was the earthly brother of Jesus. He was another one of Mary's sons. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives the early and latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Some key sections of this that I will be speaking about. Not only patience, but the fruit of the earth, seed time and harvest, the early and the latter rain. There's a lot of meat in these two verses. But because we had communion today, which isn't something that we do every week, I wanted to make sure that we had plenty of time and put that first, because communion with the Father is more important. It's coming in union with Him. So please be patient. Not quite yet, but there's a lot. There's a lot here. And so next week, and then from there, let me see. From there, we will go to as we exercise endurance, what patience really is, we're to develop godliness or godlikeness. And once again, this is a series. It's a long study. But it's God's plan to bring us to that place where He said we will never fall. I'm not there yet, and maybe some of you are, and I want you to teach me how you do that. So a lot of really, from my perspective, as I look ahead and look behind too, there are a lot of really, really wonderful things happening here among us. I can't answer for anywhere else. But something wonderful is happening here. And I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to be a part of it. And I did not forget the missions offering. Please understand, those of you that are visiting, we don't pass a basket for tithes and offerings. At any time during the service, from the time you come to the time you go, you can put your tithes and offerings in that little church building back there beside or behind Gary. But this is an offering that it's a house offering that we receive once a month, and it goes into a fund for those of us that have a call and opportunities to take a missions trip. It's been a while since we've been allowed to do that because of COVID. But we're still sowing in faith into that fund, so that any of you might be called upon the Lord to take a trip, and that money helps you to pay for a visa if you visit a country where you need a visa, if you need a passport, if you need help with a plane ticket. That's what that fund is for, and it's to send someone out from among us, and that's why we do it. So I didn't forget. It's just a good place to. We started with missions. I can tell you in India that right now it is so restricted that the people are on curfews. They can only go out still for 2 hours a day, one person per household, to go buy food for their families. they're not allowed to travel. Pretty much all public transportation is shut down. So workers have lost their jobs because they have no way of getting into the cities to work. People are dying by the thousands in India. They're lined up to be burned because Hindus burn their dead. And I get letters every day from three places in India, different places, but it's all the same. So if and when another door of opportunity opens, I'm surely wanting to go. I still have 8 years on my visa and my new passport, and when the doors open, I still have all the funding. I won't even need this. But if God raises up somebody else to go someplace, you make sure you jump to the call. And we're just going to pass these out and do what you can, do what's in your heart, and at least pray for the missions workers that are there and are still stuck there that can't even get home. There are Indian nationals that can't even go across a state line. The police are there. They're taking people's phones and putting tracking devices on them. So it's a pretty hostile environment right now. So when you think about Mission Sunday, people can't get back to the Philippines either. Is that correct, Bill? Nothing's open yet? You can't get to the Philippines right now. Is that correct? There's still a lot of traffic restrictions, travel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we're sowing it for the next missions trip. So anyway, let's pray. Father, we thank you. A lot of our body may not have that call on their lives to go and would not be drawn to such a journey, but I know that there are a lot of prayer warriors in our congregation and will help financially, but also prayer, because prayer pulls down strongholds. And so, Father, I thank you. I thank you for all the years we've been doing this, and that no one has been denied because of finances, because we help send each other. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'd like to pray for anyone who has need of prayer, too, before we break for lunch downstairs. Does anybody among you have any prayer needs? You all good? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning, how quickly it seems to go by. But Father, I thank you for the joy of fellowship. I thank you that you're always present by your Spirit. And I thank you for the joy of our salvation that's in this house. I thank you we've learned to rejoice even when our flesh doesn't want to. We've learned to praise you even when it seems so out of our character at that time. Father, I thank you for your word that's been sown in the hearts of all of us over the years. And I thank you that even now, we are still bearing fruit. We are never too old to be fruity. And so, Father, I just thank you for all the gifts, the skills, the talents, and abilities that you've joined us together as one family in Christ, but universal throughout the world. It's wonderful to be a part of a living organism called the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you for all the good things that you're doing in our lives, not only in our individual homes, but in our businesses, our finances, our families, our extended families, and even together as a body. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for saving us, and that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life where it really counts. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each one of my brothers and my sisters. And I thank you for the time of fellowship downstairs for those that can stay. Thank you for blessing the food and our conversation and time at the tables together, for it's good quality fellowship time, and we all need fellowship. And I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.